This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, June 15th of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, Boulder's Community Cycles is holding a series of events in the run-up to next week's Bike to Work Day. We'll speak with the executive director. CU Boulder is its own jurisdiction surrounded by a city. Are the waste streams separate? We'll answer that question in our latest story in the Zero Waste series. And herbalist Brigitte Mars will bring us her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A BBC News update is at the bottom of the hour. Then it's the Hightower Lowdown. After that, we'll feature a Boulder County Commissioner Candidate Forum. It was a virtual forum hosted earlier this month by the League of Women Voters of Boulder County. Then at 9:30, Uncle Jeff will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead this morning, but first, a look at the headlines with KGNU's Christian Garibay.
Workers at the Starbucks location in Cherry Creek are the latest to win a vote to unionize. The National Labor Relations Board formally recognized the results of the unionization election Tuesday. Members of Starbucks Workers United voted for unionization in order to receive higher wages and better working conditions. This particular location is the fourth location in Denver and the seventh Starbucks in Colorado to vote for unionization. It is also one of the most recent among over 200 other locations that have advocated for unionization of workers. A lack of blood donors has created a blood shortage in the state of Colorado. KGNU's Hannah Stewart has more.
Reports show that nationwide, blood donations have decreased 12% over the past year. Vitalant, one of the largest blood service providers in the country, reported 3,000 fewer blood donations between April and May compared to the same time last year in Colorado. According to Tufts EDU, blood donations have slowed down due to COVID, staffing shortages, not enough young donors, and shrinking profit margins. Reserves of type O blood, or the universal blood donor type, are down to only about half of the recommended amount for a 4-day supply. In addition to blood, Colorado is lacking platelet donors. Medical professionals use these donations for transfusions and emergencies within a week of collecting them. Many organizations, like Vitalant, UC Health, and others, have donation appointment information on their websites. For KGNU, I'm Hannah Stewart.
Aurora's fire chief has announced that he will transition to a new job out of state. KGNU's Kiara Damari has more.
Aurora Fire Chief Fernando Gray has announced he has accepted a top fire department position in the city of Las Vegas, Nevada. Gray has been the chief of Aurora's fire rescue department for the past 5 years. And according to a press release from the city of Aurora, his last day with the department will be July 15th. Aurora City Manager Jim Twombly says his office plans to name an interim fire chief in the near future, as well as announcing the next steps in search for Aurora's next fire chief. For KGNU, I'm Kiara Damari.
Researchers at CU Anschutz in Aurora will participate in a nationwide study looking at how exercise affects people's bodies. Dr. Wendy Court, a professor of medicine, will lead CU Anschutz's portion of the program, which prescribes various exercise regimens to patients and then will collect blood data, muscle tissue, and fat samples. Court told 9 News that when it comes to exercise, doctors have a general understanding but lack the research to understand exactly how it works. Court said, "We don't have enough knowledge to know what type of exercise, what dose, how intense, how frequent," Court said. "We really need to be able to tell somebody to exercise to have the health benefit. We have a broad understanding of that, but we need much more precise understanding for that to be used clinically." The program will study participants from across the country and, according to Court, hopefully help doctors prescribe specific exercise routines for patients to improve their health and prevent disease. As of Tuesday, 80% of Coloradans over 5 years old have at least their first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, 70% of Coloradans are fully vaccinated, and about 40% have gotten booster doses. Testing done last week showed the original Omicron variant made up less than 1% of cases. The COVID-19 stealth variant of Omicron made up more than a quarter of cases, and the rest were other variants of Omicron. There are currently 270 people who have been hospitalized in the entire state of Colorado. Over the duration of the past week, the average number of new cases per day is about 2,300. The success of the Denver e-bike rebate program has prompted Colorado officials to expand the program across the state. State officials will spend $12 million on e-bike rebates. Denver's e-bike rebate program received overwhelming support and maxed out its first round of applicants within weeks of opening. According to a report by the Colorado Sun, Denver will announce a new round of the e-bike assistance sometime after July 4th. Officials are currently working in unison with local bike shops in the Denver area to possibly establish storage space for these e-bikes due to high demand and the popularity of the assistance plan. Over the course of the plan, Colorado legislation hopes to help up to 12,000 people with the e-bike purchase, distribution, and training so that they can lower vehicle emissions in the state. Expect slightly lower temperatures than usual today. Across the Front Range today, winds can reach up to 11 miles per hour. In Boulder, a high of 87 and a low of 55. In Fort Collins, a high of 87 and a low of 54. In Denver, a high of 88 and a low of 57. Outside the Boulder studio, it's 59 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Christian Garibay.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. Gas prices are rising rapidly week over week, and those hikes are nudging some to look at the viability of bike commutes. One local organization, Community Cycles, has been preaching that gospel for years and will be seeking converts this time next week with its annual Summer Bike to Work Day. I'm joined live by Community Cycles Executive Director Sue Prant. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Bike to Work Day is a national happening, well known by many in the cycling community, but can you give listeners who may be hearing about it for the first time an overview?
Sure. Bike to Work Day nationally, there's a little confusion because that occurs in May, but in the mountain states, Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, we celebrate it in June because some communities still have snow in the May. So Bike to Work Day is a chance for everybody to get out and try riding a bike. There's more cyclists on the street, so you can have that feeling of safety in numbers. There's all sorts of breakfast stations all over the state, really, but certainly in the Boulder-Denver region, there's many. And so you get a little reward for riding your bike and get to meet other cyclists, talk about biking. It's a great camaraderie. And for those who bike all the time and bike every day, it's a way to celebrate them and what they're doing all year long.
And listeners should know that KGNU will also be hosting a Bike to Work breakfast station here next week in the mornings. We are located at 4700 Walnut Street next to the Foothills Bike Path and the overpass over Walnut. So you can come find us in the morning of next Wednesday. But Community Cycles is, of course, a driving or rather peddling force behind two annual Bike to Work Days in Boulder. But you've also got some other events happening in the run-up to it. What's in store for today and in the days ahead?
So we've already been through a number of our events. We had the B360, which is a Circle Boulder by Bicycle Tour on June 5th. So look for that to come back next year. And that's a great event. It's a free bike ride with ice cream at the end. And tonight we have an Upslope Rolling on Flatirons. We have a bike show. So people are encouraged to come out and bring the bike they love, the bike they built, the bike that is just unique and different, or anything about it. There's no set reason why you have to love your bike. And enter it in the bike show, and we'll have various categories. People will vote on it, and the winners in each category and the best in show will win prizes. So it's a fun event. It's a chance to, you know, mingle with other bike people outside and look at fun bikes that people in Boulder, your fellow community members, have built or own. And it's a great time. And also upcoming, we have a happy hour also at Upslope on the night of Bike to Work Day. So that's the 22nd, also at Upslope on Flatirons. We have an accessibility event, which is for people in wheelchairs and other differently mobile ways that they get around. And that is going to be next Sunday, I believe, not this coming Sunday, the following Sunday, at the Municipal Center, and all sorts of other events. Check our website. There's free classes and rides. There's a ride on tomorrow night, sponsored by HMH Architects. There's a ride on Bike to Work Day Happy Hour, sponsored by REI, a gravel ride. But check our website at walkandbikemonth.org, again, walkandbikemonth.org, for a list of all the events.
And since last year's Summer Bike to Work Day, we in Boulder have had a new city council seated. What's your evaluation of their transportation policy?
So transportation is changing and doing well. So a lot of it is staff-driven as well. It's not just council. So with changes in staff, I'm hopeful that that transportation is improving and we're gonna get more facilities quicker. We have, council has adopted the CAN.
I'm sorry, you dropped out there. Council has adopted what?
The core arterial network called CAN. And it was inspired by our Transportation Advisory Board. And that is really focusing on making protected bike facilities on the roads that are arterials where the most crashes happen and but are missing links. So things like Folsom, Iris, roads like that, where people really need these roads to get to where they're going. We don't currently have safe facilities. There are a lot of crashes for both bicyclists, pedestrians, automobiles. So how do we make these roads safer? And that's been the new focus for our transportation department and council. And we're also hoping it will inspire them to do e-bike programs like Denver. I think we're going to talk about that. And other really forward-thinking things and bring Boulder back into the forward-thinking world of bicycling.
Why doesn't Boulder have an e-bike rebate program like Denver?
Well, Denver has to tax, so that's how it was funded. To do any program, you need to first buy funding. Our climate tax is expiring and probably looking to be refunded next year, so that's something we could add on it when the new climate tax comes around. In fact, there was a public questionnaire on this, on what you would like to see on in the climate tax. So we have the opportunity in the next round to do it, because the way ballots work, you have to spend the money on what you said you'd spend it on when people voted for it. So we're in discussions now about what that might look like and how that might team up with the statewide program. And, and we're hopeful. I'll just anecdotally say my last couple days, I was in the minority and not riding an e-bike. So mm-hmm. Could just be who I'm hanging out with. But
well, once you've tried them, they're, pretty nice. So quickly in our final minute, the state legislature this session also passed a new transportation policy. What are we looking at there with regards to cycling commutes?
I'm not super familiar with it, but I'll speak a little bit because it's come out yet. So a lot of these things, they'll pass them and then we don't really know what the program will actually look like on the ground. And that's kind of the case with the $12 million for the state e-bike program. We don't know yet what it's going to look like on the ground, who that's going to go to, how you apply for it, how that's going to be administered. Will it be at the register rebate? And the same thing with much of the transportation policy. So it's usually fairly broad brush. And then as we get into the details, we'll know. As far as state policy on transportation, there are not a lot of state roads in the city, although Boulder or Broadway is a state road. But the county really has a lot of state highways. So this has a lot of impact in the county. And I just do want to put in one more plug. The county is looking to also pass the transportation tax. It's a renewal of a 0.01% tax. And we're hopeful they'll ask for more because that's not really enough, but that's probably doubtful. But they're looking now, the county's taking feedback now on what should be their priorities.
Sue Prant, Executive Director of Community Cycles, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
Moving straight into the next story, CU Boulder is its own jurisdiction within Boulder city limits. The campus has its own police force and its own fleet of garbage trucks. CU Boulder was also an early adopter of zero waste principles. So what happens to its waste? Is it treated differently than the rest of the trash the city of Boulder generates? In our latest installment in our Follow the Waste series, KGNU's Ellie Stuckrath investigates how one of the most prestigious schools for environmental studies handles its trash.
Both CU Boulder and the county that surrounds it have expressed intent to reduce their waste streams to as close to zero as possible. The two entities share physical and geographic space, but the demographic of CU is significantly younger and arguably more environmentally conscious than that of Boulder County overall. CU Boulder also manages at least a portion of its own waste stream.
So we have two lines here in the facility. One is for our commingled containers, cans, bottles, glass, all that good stuff. And then we have a dry line for all the papers that we collect as well.
Jessica Bradley has been working with CU Facilities Management and Recycling for over 20 years. She began collecting office paper to recycle as a student at CU and now helps to manage the university's Recycling Operations Center, also known as the ROC. Students staff the center and sort the waste. Bradley says the university feels having students involved in recycling operations is important for learning and creating a mindful student body.
We're a living learning lab here at CU in multiple ways, so this is just one other facet of a student's education, or just learning about how intensive it is to sort through waste and then also learn where it goes and also just promoting buying back post-consumer content, you know, close the loop.
The ROC receives recyclable waste from all of the campus's educational buildings, but Bradley notes dorms are an exception.
For the residence halls, we have single stream recycling at the docks or enclosures outside the res halls, and those are collected twice a week, and those are delivered directly to the MRF, because we just don't have the capabilities here to sort those materials.
The MRF is the Materials Reclamation Facility, otherwise known as the Boulder County Recycling Center. Rick Cater works there as a recycling operations analyst. He says the resources help CU recycle more products and achieve a greater yield.
That allows the university to expand their bucket of plastics from one and twos to ones, twos, fours, and fives, because we can now sort those very efficiently, which helped the university look at it differently and go, hey, we now have opportunity to yield more of those resins that we get.
Cater says the partnership results in better recycling yields because the MRF has more advanced machinery and a more permanent trained staff able to properly train the students on efficient recycling techniques.
So the first time we got Grateful Dead events or those kind of events, there was a huge amount of water and liquids. And so the city or the CU thinks they're going to get paid $1 billion because the weight of the can was, you know, 10 tons. We recovered it and extruded all of the water from it. They were shocked and amazed that it was that much of an impact. It was like 20, 30% of the weight. So they were able to then go, hey, we need to educate the students to empty the water and stuff before we put it in. And there was a marked change in the quality and their yield on that. So that kind of back and forth communication is very powerful.
Cater said the Boulder Recycling Center is able to recycle around 90% of incoming materials compared to the average 20 to 30% at other recycling centers. For the products that cannot be recycled, CU attempts to compost as much as possible, but the rest goes in the trash. CU's Jessica Bradley says the university does not sort through trash or compost due to safety reasons. While CU does have its own fleet of garbage trucks, the waste ends up at Western Disposal, which consolidates it with other waste from Boulder County. Kathy Carroll, the Community Relations Manager for Western Disposal, says CU Waste undergoes the same process as their other customers.
The material that CU brings in on their own trucks, they'll bring it into our facility, which is our Materials Management Center. It's located at 2051 63rd Street in Boulder. And they come in, They go over our scale. They tip their material in our transfer station along with the rest of the material, and they weigh out. So it's really the same way that we treat the rest of the trash that comes into the facility. We do have some locations that are off campus that we ourselves service with collection services, trash, recycle, compost, and it's really the exact same process.
Western Disposal does not sort through the trash or compost either. Western Disposal will take the consolidated trash to the Front Range landfill in Erie and deliver compost to A1 Organics, which takes it to their industrial composting facility in Canesburg. CU does, however, document how much waste it produces. In the 2020 to 2021 year, CU had 3,630 tons of total waste. 923 tons were diverted from landfill for recycling and 732 tons for composting. Their overall diversion rate was nearly 46%, but Bradley said their goal is to eventually reach a 90% diversion rate.
That's a very big goal, but we're trying to promote waste minimization and also just education, making sure that students, staff, faculty, you know, anyone on campus trying to make recycling as convenient as possible.
While recycling has been a concerted effort on campus for years, it still is not always easy to recycle and recycle correctly.
It's actually very difficult to recycle and compost in the dorms because there's only two areas where they put them, and those are further away from the building than the trash bins are, so it's much easier to just throw everything in the trash.
That was Sema Karim, an RA for Stearns East, a dorm on campus. Based on her observations, convenience is key to a successful waste diversion strategy.
They definitely could make more an effort to put recycle bins in an accessible location. A big area where they could improve, at least last year with COVID, I remember this was huge because we would have to use takeout boxes for the dining halls, and there was no compost on the way out of the dining hall. So everyone was just putting them in the trash because you would have to go from the dining hall building down through the basement and then to the back area of where the composts are. So they just need to place them in easier locations.
CU's Associate Director for Campus Building Services, Jessica Bradley, says one of the biggest challenges to diverting waste and recycling is educating people about how to do it correctly. Karim suggests that RAs could play a role in this.
I've never done anything to educate residents about it. Like, I've never been told to. So I think they definitely could make more of an effort because that's the kind of thing that they could have us do an event on or, like, add more into one of the floor meetings.
Bradley says that CU is always looking for new ways to educate people about waste diversion and recycling because it is most effective when individuals feel empowered and knowledgeable on actions they can take. And while still a ways off from its zero-waste goal, CU's self-reported diversion rate is 11% higher than the 35% Boulder County reports for its own zero-waste progress. For KGNU, I'm Ellie Stuckrath in Boulder.
This reporting series was made possible by a grant from Boulder County's Zero Waste Funding Program. Time now for Naturally with herbalist Brigitte Mars.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars. And a few times this week, I've been asked a lot about how can one do more self-care, self-honoring of oneself. And, you know, I like to do just about everything according to the chakras. So I'm going to say, let's talk about the color red, which corresponds to the earth element and putting our feet on the ground and how we take care of the earth. And are we building soil? We can all and need to be composting and to be using only biodegradable things. Do our best. This is also about survival and self-care. So survival is going to talk about getting your finances in order, being safe, wearing your seatbelt, doing an OM when you get in the car or on your motorcycle. Taking a class in self-defense. Do you have a bug out bag? Do you know how to be prepared in an emergency? Do you know first aid, wilderness survival? What about the plants that grow around you? So red is about how can we do more self-care. And since red corresponds to our feet, you could give yourself foot massages. You could learn about reflexology and the whole art of the feet. You can walk more. Well, that's a good idea. You know, I'm almost 70 and I've never learned to drive a car. It is possible, yet I've taught all around the world. Just saying, it can be done. Let's see. Red is going to be about wearing red. I like to wear red on Tuesdays. Martes, mardi, en français, Mars Day, the color of red. But sometimes you're not up to red, you might wear pink. And really important is to eat red foods. Of course, we should be eating all the colors of the rainbow. But today, red is going to focus on watermelon, tomatoes, red kidney beans, which are good for the kidneys, by the way, red apples. Yes, red builds our blood. And we can think of red herbs like rose hips and even cranberries and uvahersi. The red aroma would be things like the smell of rose. Yes, walk by and smell the roses. And we can also enjoy decorating with red. We can visualize breathing it in, and we can exercise more. Find something to do for your body every day, whether it be yoga. Personally, I love Bollywood, hip-hop dance, and yoga. So thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally for Sacred Self-Care, Exploring the Red Chakra. Blessed be.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Christian Garibay, Chiara De Mare, Hannah Stewart, Alexis Kenyon, James Swinson, Ellie Stuckrath, and Brigitte Mars for their contributions to today's program. Stay tuned for the Hightower Lowdown, and then it's a public affair. That's coming up right after these announcements from our underwriters.